Okay. Good day, people. It's Wednesday, May 4th, 2016, and this is Lager Than Life, a show where we talk craft beer and breweries here in the San Fernando Valley. And today I'm actually on site here with the guys of Hand Brewed Beer based here in Chatsworth. Really excited to be doing the show here on location with them. As you can probably hear the machines in the background, I've got Will Kaplanor, Tony Castaneda, and Brian Hand with me here today. Thanks for so much for being on the show, guys, and having me here in the brewery. How y'all doing?
Doing great. Thanks
good.
For coming out.
Thanks for coming out, man.
All right. Guys. How would you characterize the brewery and what you guys are doing here?
I mean, we kind of, Brian and Tony kind of started the brewery a couple years ago. We had been homebrewing for a long time. We all lived together in a house, my mom's house, actually. And Brian gave me a Mr. Beer brewery kit, I think, or was it Tony?
That was me, yeah.
Tony gave me a Mr. Beer kit for Christmas, and we brewed it, and it tasted terrible. And then we brewed a couple more beers, and they all tasted really bad. We drank them anyways, obviously.
That's what you do when you're 20 and poor.
Right. Yeah, you're gonna drink keep going.
And then a couple years down the road, Brian started brewing again, and he started replicating recipes, and they were starting to get good. And then he decided to start a brewery. Tony also decided that was a good idea, and I'm glad they did. Because I disagreed with them at the time.
So it took a little convincing for that from them to you to get you actually totally involved.
I was like, this is a dumb idea.
when we signed the lease, Will was like, you guys, I don't know if you're sure you want to do this. And then we brewed our first batch. He's like, all right, I'm in.
And what was the first batch that you guys brewed?
So our flagship beer is D's Nuts Brown Ale. It's the first beer that we perfected as homebrewers, the first beer that we brewed as a commercial brewery. It's a very nutty, roasted brown ale, and it seems to serve a need for styles of beer.
All right, perfect. What did you guys open the brewery?
Technically, we filed our paperwork in 2013, but our first year of brewing was 2014.
In August, we got fully licensed. You know, it takes some time to get all the paperwork through with the state and federal government. But once we did that, we've been brewing ever since.
And you guys landed here. You're in Chatsworth. Was it a conscious decision that you guys wanted to be here in Chatsworth as opposed to anywhere else in the valley? Or was it just like the valley itself you wanted to be in?
Well, I think all of us are from the valley. We all went to CSUN. Tony and I went to Chatsworth High School right here. We lived in West Hills when we started brewing, so we wanted this idea of the West Valley as far as being a place. Chatsworth was natural just for its abundance and industrial parks and whatnot.
Chatsworth also has like a pretty interesting group of characters that live here that we're pretty fond of. Definitely a wide collection of cowboys and various other interesting characters.
Okay. And then you guys have any issues getting set up in the city of Chatsworth? Did the community here welcome what you guys are actually doing, or did you face any issues with it?
People thought we were going to grow pot.
Which I could understand, you know, with the amount of dispensaries now being popped up everywhere. And but after they found out you weren't, was there kind of like...
So the township of Chatsworth's actually been pretty good to us. We're actually under the umbrella of Los Angeles City. Okay. So we deal with everything in the city. As anybody that's ever dealt with any sort of building, planning, anything that has to do with permits and exchanges of paperwork and money with the city, you know that it's kind of cumbersome. It's not that they have issues with us being here. They just don't really know what to do with us.
Okay. To get the brewery actually started up and going, how did you guys approach doing that? I saw something doing research like the Founders Club. And also you guys had did something on Kickstarter. How did that come about?
Brian and I have always been of the mindset, and even Will from the beginning, is, you know, we knew that we're a bootstrap operation from day one. And we, you know, we told ourselves, beg, borrow, and steal our way in. Anything that we can do to save money but make good equipment, you know, we're gonna do everything ourselves. You know, in our original system, Will, Brian, and I, we designed absolutely everything. We built our own mash tun. We built our own hot liquor tun. We bought a kettle, and then we had it modified to add heaters inside of it. All of our fermenters we made by hand. You know, we followed Mike Hess, It's kind of his design on what he did. And Brian really spearheaded what was going on, and then Will and I kind of jumped in.
Brian probably spent thousands and thousands of man hours on Reddit.
On Reddit, yeah, absolutely.
Oh, mostly pro brewer, I would
mostly
say.
Mostly pro brewer.
And what subreddit were you on Reddit?
The Brewery.
The Brewery, okay. Reddit has good beer community, guys, if you ever want to check it out. A bunch of subreddits. LA Beer is one, and I guess The Brewery is another one. And so, anyway, you were saying? That's pretty much it. So the Kickstarter campaign was successful then, correct?
Yes, our Kickstarter, we set a goal that we knew we could achieve money-wise. We noticed that there were some people that were going out there and asking for lofty goals, not meeting it, and then not getting any funding. So we decided to make the Kickstarter kind of like a more of like an advertisement of us getting open, make it an attainable goal. People get things from it, like T-shirts and whatnot, be a part of Founders Club. And it was about letting people know, hey, we're coming.
We also set out with a goal. We're like, all right, we need X amount of $1,000 to get a walk-in cooler. So that was kind of one of the big things that we pitched. It's like, we're not just asking for money to open the brewery. We're already on our way. We're already sort of buying machinery.
You had specifics of what you guys needed and what you guys were aiming for.
We felt by letting people know where we were and what we still needed actually gave people the confidence in us to want to sponsor our Kickstarter.
Real quick then, how did you guys come up with the name Hand Brewed Beer?
It's an easy one there. My last name, I'm Brian. His last name is Hand. So if the last name like that, you usually got to go stick with it. But I think also further, it really emphasizes what Tony was saying, that we built a lot of this ourselves. It's a lot of manual hand-brewed beer. It's kind of a double entendre there.
I don't think we realized how applicable that name would be to our brewery.
I mean, it definitely fits what you guys are doing here. I mean, the double, thing with your last name and hand brewed. I mean, it definitely kind of gives you an idea that you guys are doing stuff, on your own and kind of getting down to the nitty gritty and handling it yourself. So you guys said it was just a little beer kit, Mr. Beer Kit, that got you into brewing.
I really got to, while you're saying that, just a quick shout out to the Maltos Falcons. When we first started and we were all 21 years old, we went one day to the Maltos Falcons and we really learned what craft beer was, I think, at that point. I mean, we were always drinking Arrogant Bastard and Sierra Nevada Pale Ale, but going to the Maltos Falcons meetings,
that kind of educated you on what's
out
there.
You show up and they got kegs of beer and you're like, what is this? What is this? And all of a sudden your eyes are open to this whole new spectrum of not just knowledge, but crazy beer styles, things you never would have thought to put in beers. And really, it opened my eyes personally to what a craft beer could be.
Yeah, the Maltos are really good. I'm trying to get them on the show, but you're not the first ones I've had on my show who've actually, gone through them and actually learned what they're doing, they're brewing through Maltos Falcons. And it's, definitely I'm chasing after them, trying to get them on the show because they're, big here in the Valley. And you guys and everybody else are talking about them.
Yeah, we still go over there to get advice from the guys at Home Beer, Wine, Cheese.
Shout out to Sean and Josiah.
Yeah, Sean and Josiah. Josiah now. Did you have him on the show?
No, I want to, definitely.
Yeah, he's now the home brewer, or the head brewer in the cloud. Yeah.
No, I had just Jennifer and Alistair on the show, but they were telling us about, what was his name?
Josiah.
Josiah. See, his name is a little different. But, let's talk about your beers. You guys have year-round ones and seasonal ones, correct?
Correct.
Okay, so let's talk about your year-round ones that you guys do. Why don't you guys start describing what? How many you have? Let's start off with that and go from there.
Sure. We typically stick around anywhere between 6 to 8 year-round beers. The previously mentioned, our flagship beers are Deez Nuts Brown Ale, really nutty roasted brown ale. We've also got our Incident Isotope IPA. This will start a trend that you'll notice with our names. It's kind of a homage to the Santa Susana Field Laboratory meltdown that happened in the 50s. It's a really brown sugar.
That was Incident Isotope, you said?
Incident Isotope, and it's a brown sugar IPA that's really balanced. We also have Santa Susana Saison, a tart, slightly sweet Saison. We've got Rocky Peak Red. It's an Imperial Red Rye. We've also got Oat Mountain Stout. It's an oatmeal stout, imperial status, and that's the mountain just here to the north of the valley. And we've also got our Erudite Wit. That is a white pepper, coriander, orange peel, white ale. And then we also have our post-race session IPA, which is actually a, we use oats in there to give it a nice big body, but keep the alcohol content down. A good fishing beer, or nice. After you finish a race.
We, one of the beers that's starting to make its way into a regular rotation is Chubasco, which is a Serrano and pepper ale.
And who came up with that recipe? That sounds pretty interesting.
They had the recipe before I jumped in. Who was
it? Brian loves spicy beers. I'm going to blast him on this. So we were experimenting with making extracts with Serrano peppers. And one day Brian was like, all right, we're going to make this extract with Serrano pepper and our bowl. And so we made this extract, and we both tasted it as we were cleaning the brew house at the end of the day.
Okay.
And it was so hot that, you know, our noses were running and our mouths were just hanging open because we couldn't breathe. You couldn't close your mouth because it was just burning.
Oh, goodness.
And Brian's like, this is going to be great in a beer.
So that's a great, story. I mean, essentially then, do you guys all come up with the recipes for the beer, or is there like a suggestion as to a type you guys want to do? How's the process for recipes come about?
This is Brian again. So there were a couple original recipes that I had come up with when Tony and I were still homebrewing, and like These Nuts and Incident Isotope. But I think further on down the line, we kind of take a trial by committee kind of thing where we really set out to think what style of beer we want to do. And this is actually a lot of fun for us, because what we usually do is, let's say when we were creating Rocky Peak Red, when we said, let's make a red ale. So everybody comes to a table, and we have a couple other friends that come with us, and everybody has to bring two or three versions of a red ale.
Oh, okay.
It could be Belgian, it could be American, it could be this random offshoot, it could be even a sour. And let's go down the line and do tasting notes. And so we typically get a little drunk by the end, but we have a couple people taking notes just in case someone misses something. And we really just really finalize, well, what about this beer do we like or we don't like? Let's see if we blend it and what that does, like what kind of flavor profiles we might get from that. And then just take the approach, all right, well, we seem to want this style of a beer, so okay, let's go to the drawing board when it comes to ingredients and really guess from that and see, all right, well, does that look like a feasible recipe?
Okay.
Brew a couple 5-gallon, 10-gallon batches just of like variations.
Test batches.
Exactly. Doing some slight variations with hops or, you know, maybe even the yeast and whatnot. And then really just narrowing down until we're all happy with something.
Do these usually turn out to be like your seasonal ones, since you have the year-round recipes kind of like already down? Are these what lead to your seasonals?
Well, the approach with Rocky Peak Red and I would say Santa Susana Saison were taking this approach because they were added to our lineup. But yes, we would probably now, having a good, you know, selection of year rounds, we probably are now focusing more on the seasonals for this.
One of the really like big benefits of having a really small system that we're like really have intimate knowledge of is that we get to take recipes and scale them up under our larger system, and we get to try them and retry them, and we can make a lot of different kinds of beers and kind of experiment, which is really where the passion is, without committing to, you know, 15 barrels of beer. We're still only brewing 2 barrels at a time.
And does it also depend on what you guys are able to get in terms of, you know, barley hops and yeast and everything? I mean, I guess ingredients are part of it as well.
We just like every other small brewery, you know, we don't have a hop contract yet. That takes a lot of funding. And right now, as you know, if you come to the brewery and you see what's going on here, we're really focusing on growing the brewery and growing hand-brewed beer as a name. And so, yeah, you know, of course, everything that we do it. I hate to say it, but it's dollar conscious. So
no, I get it.
We attack everything, again, with the hand-brewed beer mentality of, this is what we can do. Let's make the best beer possible.
No, that's great. I mean, quality, I mean, it definitely seems what you guys are striving for here, as opposed to some of these other people who are in it to try to sell out and get the big money. You guys seem to be doing it for a passion, but although, you know, selling out is probably not too far.
Have we not sold out yet?
Yeah, right.
Well, I mean, compared to some of these other people.
My soul is gone, dude.
That's a show for another day. We'll go.
Next week.
But next week. But let's go ahead and showing up here, you guys are in the midst of switching out a new system for the old system for a newer system. Do you guys kind of want to describe what you guys are working with and what you guys are going into?
Sure. I'll take the reins on this one.
Okay, go.
Brian and I spent a lot of time developing our own brew system, because again, we're going to come in it, we're going to do it hand brewed beer style. We know what we wanted to make, we know what we needed to fit our needs, and so we designed a 2-barrel brew house where we had our own kettle design, our own mash tun, our own everything. And when it came to we had plastic 4-barrel conical fermenters.
Ooh,
that good. Brian and I actually ran 50 feet of stainless steel coil through in order to chill properly. And you know, the whole thing we did was on a budget, but our beer really speaks for itself and it's standalone. So it proves that if there where there's a will, there's a way. But about 4 weeks ago, we picked up a new brew house from a brewery in Torrance.
Okay.
And we're stepping our system up. We went from a 2-barrel and we're now almost brewing on a 7-barrel system.
Okay, that's great. With your brewery at this time, there's not a tap room with it. You guys, I understand, are in the process of trying to get the tap room up and going, and will you guys want to discuss that and like what the theme behind the tap room will be? Who wants to?
Sure, that's Brian again. We, in doing our research for getting this brewery started, we polled some, you know, other breweries like the aforementioned McLeod Ale, just to see what the city of LA was kind of giving them in feedback. And what we found out was if you wanted a tasting room from the get-go, you had to wait for the entire process. That means no brewing beer and selling it to restaurants or bars or anything like that. You have to wait till they 100% approve everything, including your tasting room. So knowing that we were going to be working with a strict budget, we had to hold off on the tasting room. So what we did was we went into selecting our location and filing the paperwork that way.
Okay.
And we were pretty quick to get our licensing, which was our biggest hurdle at that point. And then we figured from there, once we apply for the tasting room, when we were ready, they wouldn't shut us down while we wait.
Oh,
we would just be waiting on the paperwork.
Yeah.
So for now, what we're doing is we're in the middle of doing all the construction needs while simultaneously filing paperwork. We have our attorney doing all the stuff that we'd rather not even look at because we'll spend way longer than he would on just even understanding.
Yeah, yeah. Stuff's not even written in English, man.
Yeah.
I hear you.
You need decoding pages for decoder pages. And so right now we are in the midst of that process, and we're crossing our fingers that the city of LA won't make us wait too long, and hopefully by end of summer we'll be able to open to the public and do full-time tasting room operations.
And what kind of theme do you guys have for the tasting room setup that you guys want to try to do?
I think we're still kind of throwing around the major ideas on it, but I want to say that it's probably going to follow this whole idea of hand-brewed, which actually, coincidentally, is awesome because that means we'll be doing a lot of the work, which means it's cheaper. So, you know, it'll look like we did the work, whether we hired people or not. We want to make it look like this was put together by the founders, the people. It could be like your backyard, like you designed it yourself. And that's kind of the idea I think we want to go with. A nice place to come, drink, and relax.
Represents what you guys are doing here.
Exactly. Have a little bit of the area. Have a little bit of our personality.
We're three guys who have been hanging out the better half of our adult lives. You know, we all met each other between 17. We're all in our almost mid-30s now. But, you know, dating ourselves. You know, it's one of those things. I think the tasting room is definitely going to reflect our relationship, how the brewery got started, how we all see brewing, and how really who we are.
No, I mean, you guys sound like you're having a blast here. I mean, hanging out with your friends. I mean, of course, there's probably a plethora of problems that I'm, you know, not privy to that you are under the surface.
We got rid of the guns.
We never fought. It's never happened.
They always come to gentlemen agreements about everything.
That's right.
So, in talking about the fact that you have yet to open up a tap room, taste room here, has it presented a challenge getting your beer out to the public and getting it, just getting, you know, awareness for what you guys are doing around here?
Go ahead, Will. Will's our number one salesperson for some reason. Everybody loves him.
Okay, so Will, we'll direct it to you. So, I mean, did it present a problem and challenge that trying to get the beers out there since you didn't have an actual taste room? I mean,
in Chatsworth, the community is like so supportive. It's ridiculous. There's a really great small business community here. You know, a bunch of the restaurants around here, Cooking with Lenny's, Crazy Harry's, not in Chatsworth, but They're close. Yeah,
they're Valley. They're in the Valley.
The West End Tavern, Amazing Thai, Straw Hat Pizza.
Go on and on.
So I could, I mean, I could go on forever. That's just like the close vicinity. Numero Uno Pizza are all owned by small business owners who also see the value in you know, local beer, local products being being brewed and built by people from the community, and they've been like really, really supportive. It's also been, it's been a struggle, but not, you know, not necessarily the worst. Getting out in further areas like Sherman Oaks, you know, Calabasas, Pasadena, as far away as Moore Park and Redondo Beach. Or was it Hermosa Bay?
Both.
So do events like Taste of the Valley kind of help you guys get out there and get you guys more publicity and for what you guys are doing?
Yeah, Taste of the Valley is really great as long as we can kind of keep our wits about ourselves. There's so many temptations at Taste of the Valley. We also do Meet the Brewer events, where we go to a restaurant or a bar, and you know they'll have a certain number of taps available.
Then I also find you guys also do trail runs for people here at the brewery. I mean, you guys want to?
Every Wednesday night we do a trail run. We meet here at 5:45,
okay,
and run a quick trail and come back. It's really about the running, and people get to look at the brewery, and it's fun.
All right. I mean, are they allowed to come in after the trail run to sample the beer? Is that something like kind of like a
prospective clients are definitely allowed to. Upcoming with our construction being done, we'll be able to host some private parties where we'll hook up with different charities and different catering groups, so we can kind of have people come on in and preview what our full-time operation will be.
Okay.
In touching upon what you were bringing up in the question about, was it tough without the tasting room?
Yeah.
I would say only twofold. The first part being that because we like to experiment with a lot of different things, without having a tasting room open, it's albeit a small system where we don't have to worry about too much of a crazy idea gone bad.
Yeah.
We also don't have that immediate opportunity to turn around a keg that may not be widely available or widely ready to sell to a lot of our clients who have a certain expectation, but could have its own following if we had the ability to have people come and try it here. And then the other part would be just without the tasting room, it has been hard to get some media presence, just because people don't think that we're open, actually.
Okay.
They say that, oh, yeah, you're making beer, that's fine, but you're not open. And it's like, well, we are, it's just you can't come here yet.
So that
has been a little bit of a burden, but not too bad. I think we've overcome it for the most part.
Okay, so you guys are doing amazing beer here. Craft beer is growing huge in America, and especially here in Southern California, in the Valley. What do you guys think about some of the other breweries that are here in the Valley and what they're doing? Do you guys want to...
You know, we're big fans of actually all the breweries. We do an event, a Meet the Brewers event also. We're trying to kind of brand it as sfvbeer.com. And it's where you can come to an event and meet all the brewers from San Fernando, McLeod, 818, and ourselves.
Do you know if there's a one of these coming up soon?
We don't have one scheduled right now, so...
So just keep an eye out for it?
Keep an eye out for it. We've got a couple locations that we're talking to right now, but... I'd say within the next couple months.
I think with next month in June, with it being LA Beer Week, there'll probably be some opportunities
Definitely.
A lot of the local businesses will be doing LA Beer or San Fernando Valley Beer only events, and that will be kind of like an impromptu, and with the potential of us actually scheduling another event as well.
Perfect. I'm looking forward to that. Okay, as you guys are picking up momentum here at Hand Brewed Beer, what are some of your immediate goals and future goals that you guys have? We'll pass it on over here to
immediate goals. Will, Brian, and myself, we all work full time. We all have full time jobs, and it's you know, we work full time and we're at the brewery full time. So the three of us are just, you know, burning the candle at both ends as fast as we can. So as we pick up and as we progress moving forward, it's going to be really nice to have some of us here working full time. And actually, you know, being employed by the brewery, that's been our goal since day one, is let's be employed by the brewery and let's make this thing happen.
All right. I mean, I think you guys could do it. I think you guys are doing really great things here. I mean, the fact that you guys are located on the West End of the Valley here in Chatsworth, I think there's definitely a huge opportunity here for you guys to even expand, not necessarily be bigger, but do better. And then, So, I mean, it just seems like we're about just about out of time. I'd like to thank, you know, Tony, Brian, and Will here from Handbrew Beer, for being on the show today. How do people find your beer? How would they go about finding your beer or even finding you guys?
The best way to do it would be going on to handbrewedbeer.com. We have a Find Us page where we list off the many accounts that we have in the area. And as Will mentioned before, as far as Pasadena and Moorpark and Thousand Oaks, so you'll be able to find us on there.
You can also find us on Facebook, hand-brewedbeer.com, or not .com, but handbrewedbeer at Facebook, and then at handbrewedbeer on Instagram.
All right. Well, I'd like to say thank you all for listening to Lager Than Life. This is Dan DeLeon with KPCRadio.com. Remember, please drink responsibly no matter what you do, and have a great day.